الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه، ومن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر، ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. First and foremost, the month of Ramadan is the month that the Quran was revealed. It was revealed, as Sheikh Salih bin Fawzan al-Fawzan said, it was revealed all in one night, on Laylat al-Qadr. As Lawh al-Mahfuz, as the preserved tablet, or as that which is preserved, the Quran. One night, Laylatul Qadr. And another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-Qadr, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It's better than 1,000 months. What will convey to you what Laylatul Qadr is? Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. In the other verse, Allah mentioned, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. We have revealed it, meaning the Quran, on a blessed night. And on that night, يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. All the affairs, based upon Allah's wisdom, is going to be apportioned on that night. This is the Qadr al-Hawli. The Qadr al-Hawli. Qadr based upon the year. That's why in Zakah, in Kitab al-Zakah, you say, إِذَا حَالَ الْحَوْلِ, meaning after a year has passed of your savings, you pay the Zakah. إِذَا حَالَ الْحَوْلِ. That's why they call this one Qadr al-Hawli. Qadr al-Hawli, and there's Qadr al-Yawmi, that which is the pre-decree of Allah based upon each day. Allah said, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْن. Every day He is upon an affair. And there's the Qadr, which is written for the rest of your life at the beginning, in the womb of the mother. Hadith Ibn Mas'ud, ثم يرسل إليه ملك وينفخ فيه الروح ويؤمر بكتب أربع كلمات بكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد. So that's the Qadr based upon the whole life. So you have that. You have the Qadr al-Sanawi. The Qadr al-Sanawi is written on Laylatul Qadr. Is there any difference between them? No. This all the same. It's all the same. It is what is apportioned for you for that year, based upon Allah's great wisdom. Allah doesn't force you. You have been given a choice. You choose to do right and wrong. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. So on Laylatul Qadr, which is coming in the last 10 nights, in the odd nights, we look for it. Because this is the night where if you do one action, one ibadah of good, inshallah, you will get it multiplied by one. It's better than 1,000 months. خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Blessed night. People think that the 15th Sha'ban is the night that the actions are apportioned. That's wrong. And they spend all night praying. That is bid'ah to specify all night praying. Bid'ah to specify all day fasting for the 15th of Sha'ban. Nothing reported on that. But the Laylatul Qadr, na'am, the last 10 nights, the Rasul ﷺ would revive the nights. Kana yuhyi laylatah. He used to, awlayali, he used to revive the nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Revive them meaning yuhyiha, he would not sleep. He would not sleep in the 10 nights. Wa yashuddu mi'zarah, and he would tie his mi'zar, because he's in the state of i'tikaf, so he would tie his mi'zar, signifying that state of seclusion away from affairs of the dunya, and now for akhirah, reviving that which is the dhikr of Allah in the akhirah. And the last one is, he used to, وَكَانَ يُوقِذُ أَهْلَهُ, and he used to wake up his family, his wives and children. He used to wake them up to read the Quran, to do dhikr on that night. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la. Dhikr, all types of dhikr, best dhikr, Quran. Na'am. Allahumma innaka afuun, tuhibbul afwa, fa'afu anna. Oh Allah, you are the one who loves to pardon, so pardon us. You love pardon, so pardon us. So that is what the Rasul used to do in those 10 nights. We prepare for that. As soon as those 10 nights come, we revive the nights. Don't sleep. This could be Laylatul Qadr, one of those nights, the odd nights. So you miss out. What is Laylatul Qadr? The night that the angels descend. Salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr. Even there's tranquility until fajr comes upon you. Tranquility, peace. Salam, angels descend. Subhanallah. Naam, blessed night. How can you not be blessed when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran that night? Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, and then in the rest of the 23 years, it was given in portions to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is the correct understanding. The whole Quran was revealed in one night, but then it was given in portions to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam within the 23 period of his risala. So this is how we prepare for those nights. Ramadan is going, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. Ramadan is passing by us quickly. Just like your life and my life is passing by us very quickly. There's no increase in age. There's only in decrease now. The age is only in decrease. From where your time is supposed to be, that's appointed. As Allah said, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَيَسْتَأْخِرُونَ السَّاعَ وَلَيَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When the ajal comes, it is not preceded by an hour or period of time, nor is it delayed by a period of time. And Allah said, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلْ. Every nation has an ajal. Every people have an ajal. That time comes, خلاص. That is it. No more amal. This is the life for amal. As in the hadith in Bukhari, hadith of Ibn Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, أَخَذَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet ﷺ took hold of my shoulder. وَقَالَ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبْ أَوْ عَابِرِ السَّبِيلِ. Be in this life as if you are a gharib, a stranger, or a traveler. عَابِرِ السَّبِيلِ, traveler. That's all it is, Ya Abdullah. Be in this life as if you are a stranger. And who are the strangers? Those who rectify what the people have corrupted, the ulama, and those with them. الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسِ. يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسِ. Who are the ones, الَّذِينَ يُفْسِدُونَ, the ones who corrupt? The people of innovation, the people of shirk, the people of disobedience. The ulama come and they bring khair to the ummah. As Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, لا يأتي زمان إلا والذي بعده أشر منه. There will not be a time except the generation that comes, or the time that comes after it, will be worse than it. It's getting worse and worse. In terms of deviation, you get more people splitting into more groups and so on. But in some areas, maybe khair, maybe good. But what is that khairiyah? Is it because of wealth? Is it because of money? Is it because of dunya? No. Is it because of having a good ruler? Ruler, yes, alhamdulillah, it brings khair. But doesn't mean there's khair in the people if the people are ignorant, even with a good ruler. If the people are doing bid'ah, even with a good ruler. So that is not sufficient. Because people just want to make change from the top, and they forget the mujtama'. Musa alayhi salam was concerned for Bani Israel. After Fir'aun did not want to accept, khalas, he wanted Bani Israel, the mujtama'. They concerned themselves with the society, with rectification from the foundations, from below, and working up. Because one day, once the rectification is there in the society, the next person to be chosen as leader will be from the rectified society. This is the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So, rectification and the islah, this comes from going back to the Quran and Sunnah, ala fahm al-salaf salih, going back to Tawheed and Sunnah. Tawheed, reviving that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Naam, that which in your worship, you single Him out in all your aspects of worship without committing shirk, without also likening Allah to His creation, and also by affirming His beautiful names and attributes. Naam, just as He has created us, He is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. The first order in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum, which is what? Worship. Worship your Lord. Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who created you. So rububiyyah necessitates uluhiyyah. Lordship, affirming that He is the Lord, necessitates that you worship Him. And from the greatest worship Allah has given us is Ramadan. This pillar. As in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams, hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa iqami al-salah, wa ita'i al-zakah, wa hajj al-bayt, wa sawmi Ramadan. In that order, fasting the month of Ramadan, the days may be long, but the longer it is, inshallah, the more reward. The more reward. And not only that, there is nothing like fasting. Hadith in Sunan al-Nasa'i. Hadith in Sunan al-Nasa'i, which is sahih. It's easy to memorize. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصوم لا مثل له. Fasting, there's nothing like it. In terms of building your ikhlas, in terms of building your sincerity, because people can see you praying, people can see you going for hajj, people can see you doing other, but when it comes to fasting, all day is only between you and Allah. And this is why Allah left the reward so great. And He said, fasting is for me. Hadith Qudsi, الصوم لي وأنا أجزي به, and I reward it. And he left the reward open. Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi al-Madkhali, he said, اجتمعت أو اجتمع, he says, is that word there? اجتمعت, نعم, الأقسام الثلاثة في الصوم, الصبر, اجتمعت أقسام الصبر الثلاثة في الصوم, that the three categories of patience you will find it in fasting. What are the three categories of patience? الصبر على طاعة الله, والصبر على معصي عن معصية الله, والصبر على قدر الله, على ما قدره الله. So there's three categories of patience. Patience upon what Allah wills, His qadr. Whatever befalls you from the qadr, you're patient. And qadr is of two types. The qadr al-kawni, the natural order that occurs, and Allah doesn't necessarily love that. Earthquakes, tsunamis, this is natural qadr. They are going to, they're destined to occur based upon Allah's wisdom. We don't know why, we don't know how, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills them. And the qadr that qadr al-kawni also necessitates that. Some people don't want to believe. The kuffar, for example, doesn't mean that Allah loves that. No, Allah doesn't like that they are upon disbelief. Allah loves them to be upon belief, and loves them to be upon iman. But based upon this qadr al-kawni, the natural decree, Allah wills that they continue upon their misguidance, because they chose that. And as for the qadr al-shar'i, that which Allah loves, that which He legislates, that you fast, that you pray, so sabr upon this legislation is one type of sabr, that you accept what Allah has legislated for you and me. He has legislated salah 5 times a day. We have to be patient upon that. And Allah said that in the Quran, wasta'inu bis sabri was salah, wasta'inu bis sabri was salah. In Tafsir al-Baghawi, he said, wasta'inu bis sabri was salah. Sabr here means Ramadan, Sawm Ramadan. So it is as if Allah is saying, and seek help with Allah with fasting and prayer. Ista'inu bis sabri was salah. So Allah Azza wa Jal called the fasting sabr. He called the fasting patience. So fasting, as Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, he said, fasting contains in it three types of patience. First one is patience upon the decree of Allah, the legislated decree, the qadr al-shar'i. He loves it. And that's why he said, "Asawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi." Fast is for me, and I reward it. Sabr an ma'asiyatillah. In your fasting, you keep away from the disobedience to Allah. Allah has no need for your fasting of away from food, drink, and relations. If you are slandering, backbiting, telling with your tongue, Allah doesn't love that. While you're fasting, there's no need for your fasting. You are, if you are upon that, so guarding the tongue. The Rasul said, "Man yadman li ma bayna lihyay wa ma bayna rijlay, admanu lahu al-jannah." Whoever guards what is between his jaws and between his legs, I guarantee him paradise. Or I guarantee for him paradise. Allahu Akbar. The Brelvis, there's one Brelvi in Diamond Road, peer, saint. He goes to the people, this is in Slough. He says to them, this saint, "Give me £25,000, I guarantee for you paradise." And one gullible man, innocent, gullible, lahidi, he gives him the money. This is what? This is no guarantee, false guarantee. He cannot guarantee you paradise. This guarantee now is from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is guaranteeing you paradise as revelation from Allah. As revelation from Allah. This is the way of Ahl Sunnah, not the way of people of shirk and bid'ah, who guarantee lies and... God between your jaws and between your legs. I guarantee you. So this Ramadan, this blessed month of Ramadan, الصبر عن معصية الله, keeping away from the haram. The third type of sabr is sabr على طاعة الله, patience upon the obedience to Allah. Allahu Akbar. And this is the highest form of sabr out of the three. Why? Because the qadr of Allah, you have to be patient. You like it or not, it's happened. قدر الله ما شاء فعل. أليس كذلك؟ الحمد لله على كل حال. It happened. صبر عن معصية الله, keeping away from the sins. You're keeping away. You don't have to do anything. You just keep away. You just keep away from the sin. But صبر على طاعة الله, now you have to move. Now you have to be. Now you have to put some effort and strive and act and strive harder. So Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi said, that is the highest of the sabr, because why? That is, now you're doing it. And especially as Ibn al-Qayyim says, you do it upon the pleasure of Allah. That you love to do it. You love to do the ibadah, it becomes now higher. That love comes from the heart. This is why, how many a small action is raised because of the actions of the heart. Maybe a small action, أَحَبُّ أَعْمَالِ اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلِيلٌ, even small, but because it is continuous, and you also love to do it, then it is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So صبر على طاعة الله, upon the obedience to Allah. And this is why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah also said, the best fast is the fast which has the most dhikr. The fast upon the most dhikr, in his fawaid, in his book called Fawaid, the benefits, best fast. Reading Quran, reading, keeping up the salawat, doing adhkar, visiting relatives, being kind to your parents and family members, doing things that will help each other. Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi also mentioned another hadith in Sunan al-Bayhaqi, which is sahih, and that is لِلصَّائِمْ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ دَعْوَةٌ لَا تُرَدْ. The fasting person, when he's just about to break his fast, he has a da'wah, a du'a, which is not rejected. So Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi said, just before you break your fast, don't delay it, 10 minutes, du'a. No, just a short du'a, just before you break your fast. You've been fasting all day, Ya Abdullah. Just before you break, and it's hard to remember, because you're just, now you're thinking about the food. And you got all the different shapes and sizes and colors. You're thinking about the food. And that you try it. You try and remember making du'a at that time, just before you're breaking the fast. It's hard to remember, and many days will pass and you will miss it. But just make du'a. That du'a is not rejected as you're breaking. Hadith in Sunan al-Bayhaqi. Naam. Sheikh Muhammad Hadi also mentioned beautiful faida. He said, مهما تنعم الجسم ما نهايته. No matter how many times that your body and soul goes through desires, يعني, or experiences the pleasures of this world, what is the end result? What is the end result? Death. We're all gonna die. So you go for all these pleasures, all these, you know, what is the end result? Death. So he said, the end result is يَأْكُلُهُ التُّرَاب, that the soil will eat you in the end. That's the end result of each and every one of us. We will return back to the ground, to the turab, to the soil. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. He said, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. All of us are going to return to Allah. So how can we reject faith in Allah when we're without life? He gave us life. Then He shall cause us to be raised up again. To Him is the return. And also the other one is, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. From it we created you, and to it you return, and from it you'll be raised up again. The turab. This is our end result. Visit the graveyards. Ay wallah. Visit the graveyards and you see people dying at different ages. People dead. And there's sometimes you find children passed away. Teenagers. People die at different ages. When is your time? When is my time? It's coming. So that's the end result. So these are short times of patience. As Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, Ya nafsu, ma hiya illa sabru ayyam. Oh, my soul is only a few days patience. كَأَنَّ مُدَّتُهَا أَدْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ. Like its extent is a few dreams. It's like a few dreams. يَا نَفْسُ جُوزِ عَنِ الدُّنْيَا مُبَادِرَةً وَخَلِّ عَنْهَا فَإِنَّ الْعِيشَةَ قُدَّمَا. Oh my soul, pass quickly through this life. Make you focused. And Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that. He said the one who Allah has blessed is the one who's focused all the time. He's not upon ghafla. He's upon the dhikr of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those ones upon the dhikr of Allah. You are fasting, this is from dhikr inshallah, that you're remembering Allah, you're doing it with the right intention, and you're fasting what? A pillar from the pillars of Al-Islam. Allahu Akbar. Naam, you're reminded more now of your akhirah. That's why fasting is a great act of worship. Naam. So Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, he said also that look, even intercession. You in this blessed month of Ramadan, reading the Quran in the days and in the nights. You are fasting in the days. The Quran will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, interceding for you. And me, inshallah. The Quran interceding for that I kept him awake at night, reading. So we are now just over 2 weeks now of Ramadan. We should now be finishing half the Quran. If we haven't, we have to catch up. Where are our priorities? Wallah, it's sad. One juz is 20 sides. 20 sides of the Quran. One juz. 20 minutes. If you're not doing it, if you make a mistake, maybe 25. Half an hour. Allah gives us 24 hours a day. Half an hour of the day to read Quran. And if you want to make it easy for yourself, after the prayers, or just before the salah, you can read a portion of the Quran to split it up, to make it easy. But plan. Everything should be around our salah and our ibadah, not around our dunya. We plan for the dunya, yes. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. That's right. Don't forget your share. You have to work. The upper hand is better than the lower hand, no doubt. But preparing for the akhirah. The last 10 days is coming upon us. And how are we going to prepare for that? And Ramadan is leaving us. This could be our last Ramadan. We may not face another Ramadan like it again, because we may end up dying in it. How are we going to prepare for that night, those nights? Trying to catch Laylatul Qadr. Yes, we have to strive. It's not going to be... nothing comes easy. But with sabr, and with seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then with that, inshallah, Allah will reward you immensely. Naam, look what fasting will say as an intercession for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because you fasted. In a hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, which is Hassan, which is a good chain, accepted chain. Ey Rabbi, mana'tuhu at-ta'am fashaffi'ni fih. I forbade him from eating, or I kept him away from eating, meaning he didn't eat the food. I kept him away from eating, the fasting kept you away from it. So, make me an intercession for him. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, on that day, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On a day when no children, no wealth will aid you and me. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except the one who comes to Allah with pure heart, sincere heart, with good actions. What will be said to those entering paradise? أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Enter paradise with what you used to do, of actions, of righteous actions. This is our akhirah. Dar al-amal is here. And there is dar qarar, the abode, the resting or not so resting. That is the hereafter. So this is the time that we strive. Not only that, even, subhanallah, the things that you may feel that is disliked, the breath of the fasting person. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that to Allah it is more beloved than the smell of musk. Yani, the smell, the breath of the fasting person is more beloved to Allah than the smell of musk. Fasting is a shield. Another beautiful hadith which is short, in Musnad Imam Ahmad, in Sahih, As-Siyamu Junnah. You can all memorize that. That's a very short hadith, simple, and it's great meaning. Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi said, it is a shield, yes, from what? From the hellfire. We all want to be shielded away from the hellfire. It's fasting is a shield from the hellfire. And the rest of that hadith is, وَحُسْنُ الْحَصِينَ. A great way of protecting yourself, this fasting. Protection. حُسْنُ الْحَصِينَ مِنْ نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. From the hellfire. Hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad, which is sahih. Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, hafidhahullah, he said, حُسْنُ الْحَصِينَ مِنْ الْمَعَاصِي. A protection from sins. This fasting is a protection from sins. Is a shield from sins. Is a shield and a protection from the hellfire. Is a protection from ghibah, he says. From backbiting. From lying. From qawl al-zur, the false witness. Shahadat al-zur and qawl al-zur. And some scholars mentioned that that refers to all the evils of the tongue. From insulting, swearing, bad words. حُسْنُ الْحَصِينَ مِنْ نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ and صِيَامُ جُنَّةِ is a protection. Allahu Akbar. And then Shaykh Muhammad bin Hadi, he mentioned a beautiful hadith. And he explained it beautifully. مَنْ صَامَ يَوْمًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بَعَدَ اللَّهُ عَنُهُ النَّارِ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفَةً. Whoever fasts one day in the path of Allah, Allah will keep away the hellfire 70 autumns, meaning 70 years. 70 years that Allah will keep the hellfire away from you for one day of fasting in the path of Allah sincerely. So how about if you fast 30, Sheikh Muhammad said. If you fast 30 days, multiply that by 70 years, how many do you get? 70 times 30, how many do you get? Allah will keep the hellfire away from you for 2,100 years. Allahu Akbar. Isn't that great? Isn't the mercy of Allah great and spacious and vast? Hey, wallah. And also for the fasting person, he has a whole gate of paradise calling him. Inna fil jannati baban yusamma rayyan, called a rayyan. La yadkhuluhu illa as-sa'imun. None will enter it except the fasting people. إِذَا دَخَلُوا يُغْلَقْ. When they enter, خلاص, it's closed. It's not for anyone, but the fasting person. So yeah, ikhwan, This is a great ibadah. You got three types of patience in that ibadah. You got all these great rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. In the hadith in Bukhari wa Muslim, man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with faith, with iman, and seeking the reward from Allah, because he knows only Allah can give him that reward, as Sheikh Salih Fawzan said. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih. See, the previous nations also had fasting. Kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba al-ladhina min qablikum. So they had previous fasting. And fasting in the month of Ramadan, fasting this month of Ramadan was made obligatory on the second year Hijriya for this ummah. 2 years after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people of the book, they had fasting. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan said they had fasting. They used to fast 30 days in the summer. But they wanted to change their religion and add and delete. Just like the Ahlul Bid'ah nowadays, they want to change their religion. They're not satisfied with the Dalil. And so what did they do? The people of the book, you find the Christians nowadays, they have also fasting. What was it then? It was in the summer, 30 days. They said it's too hot, let's make it in the winter and add 10 more days as expiation. Look, they are legislating now, doing bid'ah, doing additional, taking away and adding. Isn't that what some Muslims are doing nowadays? Taken away and adding. لَتَتَّبِعَنَّ السَّنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ وَلَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ذَبٍ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. You will surely follow the previous nations before you. Handspan by handspan, arm's length by arm's length, even if they had to go inside a lizard's hole, you will indeed follow. They said, who is it? The Jews and the Christian? He said, who else? Faman. Yes, Muslims are also adding and deleting. So the Christians, they have Lent now in the winter, 40 days. That's why it's 40. Because they changed. When it was 30 in the summer, they couldn't handle it. But for the Muslim, alhamdulillah, this Ramadan, this Siyam is complete. Comes in the winter, comes in the summer. Alhamdulillah. One question was asked to one of the scholars about fasting in Norway. Because Norway is above us, and they fast longer. They don't break fast until after 10 or after 11. So, can they? What do they do? Can they follow another country that is easier or not? Or do they just be patient? This is what the question was. The element, this one of the scholars, I can't remember who it was, but he may answer it. He said, Allah, when He legislated, He knows what He legislated for all of time, for all of places. Alhamdulillah. So, if the person is about to die or is about to fall sick, they can break their fast, because that is the exception. Darura, necessity, and also for sickness. But if not, then they should fast. That was the answer that was given. And in some parts of the world, it's much easier. We were in America, they break fast 8:30. In Trinidad, 6:30. No. So, different times. Doesn't matter. The longer, inshallah, the more reward. And the more patience we will, inshallah, learn and gain. Isn't it that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, innama sabr, innama sabr, innama al-ilm, sorry, bita'allum, wa innama al-hilm, bita'allum. That knowledge is by learning. Knowledge is not gained by just sitting down, like you get nowadays, these quick fit sheikhs on the YouTube. If you want to be a quick sheikh, you go on the YouTube. And you know, like some of these ones of Allah we've seen, so strange. Like they're in the field, they're wearing army clothes. A person that we used to see in the past, wearing army clothes, as if it's some in Western, what do you call it? Some sort of actor or something, and he's out there. What is this? SubhanAllah. Ajib. And then they start talking and, you know, trying to give dawah in that particular way. And that's what they do. They come and they become famous on. But where, as Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, where did they study? Where did they sprout from? And what is it they studied? It's no good just saying, I'm a student of. How many of those nowadays we have? I'm a student of Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimullah, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah. But when you see his actions, he's not upon the manhaj of Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah. So how are you a student of? That means you did not take his manhaj and you're not his student. Because the students of the ulama are those that take their methodology, those that take their manhaj. They are the students. And they're the ones who... What is it that you studied? You have one person has 20, 30 scholars. You think, I've never seen him with that sheikh. You know, or no one's known him to be sitting with that alim. How you became student of that alim all of a sudden? You used to visit his house for qahwa and tamar. And all of a sudden, student. Wallahi, we've seen how many of those nowadays... They want to miss. And when look at their actions, they go and they mix with the people of innovation. Giving victory and aid to the people of innovation. So how are you a student of them? Or they call to demonstrations. Or they call to defending a Jama'at Tabligh Mosque, for example. Or they call to defending Hizb al-Tahrir, that they should not be banned in. And they say, I'm a student of Sheikh Ibn Baz and Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimullah. You were. That's fi'il madi ibn al-fath. Maybe you studied something, but you did not take their methodology. The ibrah is what are you on now? That's the ibrah. Are you upon the manhaj, as-sahih, the true aqidah, the true methodology? That's the ibrah. That is what is taken into account. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who fast this month of Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban. And man qama Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisam. Qama meaning referring to the nights of Ramadan, he prays the Taraweeh. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man salla ma'al imam hatta yansarif kutiba lahu qiyamul layl. Whoever prays with the imam until he leaves, it's written for him the whole night in prayer until he leaves. So if you pray from the beginning when the imam says Allahu Akbar Taraweeh right until the witr, you have the whole night in prayer. And the other hadith, there's no contradiction with that, where the Prophet said, whoever prays Fajr in Jama'ah, he will have half the night in prayer reward. Whoever prays Fajr in Jama'ah will have the rest of the night. Yani you have the whole night if you pray Fajr and Isha in Jama'ah. Sheikh Abdul Masih Abbad explained it, and he said, there's no contradiction. You have two nights for one night in reward if you did both. If you did Fajr in Jama'ah and Isha in Jama'ah with Qiyamul, with the Taraweeh, with the Imam, you will have two nights of reward in prayer. Two nights, Allahu Akbar. Just like if you fasted the whole month of Ramadan with 6 days of Shawwal, you have the whole year. That's one reward there, great reward. And if you fast 3 days of the month, you get 1 year as well, as mentioned of a narration. So if you do both, you get 2 years for 1 year. There's no contradiction there. You get more reward. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who, as Allah said, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. This is what we should be competing with. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عُتَقَى. Allah has those who He frees away from the hellfire. عند كل فطر. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith which is in Musnad Imam Ahmad, which is sahih, that Allah has those who He takes out of the hellfire upon every breaking of the fast. There are people He takes out of the hellfire who were destined for there for their sins and their bad deeds, but He forgives them because of their fasting. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ يَتَفَضَّلُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses His servants. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful hadith. Every day, Abdullah, could be you and me, that Allah frees us from the hellfire, that we are kept away from the hellfire because of our fasting. Allahu Akbar. Fasting, this blessed month of Ramadan, we know that Ramadan is the days that the gates of paradise are open, the gates of the hellfire are closed, the shayateen, the devils are chained. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan was asked, but how come some people still do bad? If the devils are chained, how come they still do bad? He said, because 11 months of the year they were corrupt. 11 months of the year their hearts were diseased by shaitan. So even if shaitan is chained now, their hearts are already diseased for that month anyway, for them to do bad deeds. This is the month Allah has made easy for you and me. الطاعه, obedience. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in this month. May Allah make us of those who benefit in these nights of Ramadan, these last 10 nights that are coming upon us, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Those who want to do i'tikaf, seclusion, away from the dunya, for you can do it for 10 days, 5 days, 3 days, doesn't matter. Any number of days, you can even do it for an hour, passing by the masjid, and you stay in the masjid for a period of time, doesn't matter, as Shaykh Ubayd Hafidullah mentioned and other mashayikh, that it is allowed, even, because all it means is what? Secluding yourself, seclusion for a period of time, to do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Allah, and to prepare yourself for the akhirah. And as for those who want to enter, na'am, they can enter on the 21st night at Maghrib, which is the 20th day. They can enter at that time. There's difference of opinion. Do we enter, allow to enter that time or the Fajr on the 21st day? Slight difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Those who say that it's the 21st day at Fajr, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said the Prophet ﷺ entered i'tikaf on that day, at Fajr on the 21st. And the other hadith mentions that the Prophet ﷺ entered in the last 10 nights. So if you wanted to catch the last 10 nights, it means that Maghrib, the previous night, because that would be the 21st night. So anyway, slight difference of opinion, and Allah knows best which is the strongest. If you enter, there's khair in entering before or after, no problem, whichever you see as the, and Allah knows best. Seems like the general hadith in last 10 nights. From those last 10 nights, he entered at Fajr, because that's more specific and Allah knows best. At Fajr on the 21st day. That's the time he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, entered in i'tikaf. And his wives used to also do i'tikaf in the masjid. One time he saw a rope. And he said, "What is this?" It was tied to a pillar. They said, "This is the robe of Zainab. She uses it that when she's tired, she gets so tired standing up for the prayer, she has to hold, or she holds onto that rope to stay standing." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "If you can't pray standing, pray sitting. If you can't pray sitting, pray lying down. So don't make a situation where you are going to make difficulty for yourself in your prayer. Especially in Nawafil prayer, do whatever you are able to do from that which is khair. Praying the Taraweeh, great reward until the Imam leaves. Praying the Witr and the Sunnah to pray the Witr correctly. At the end of it, saying the Dua, Subhana al-Malik al-Quddus, 3 times. Rabbi Malaikati wal-Ruh, raising your voice with the 3rd one. These are some of the Sunnans that are missed and lost. Na'am, after the 15th of Ramadan, or in from the 15th onwards, then the Dua Qunut, there's reports that the Dua Qunut is mentioned to be said. You can raise your hands for the Dua Qunut. Na'am, because raising the hand in general for any Dua. So the scholars like Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah and others, they mention that that is from the signs of your Dua to be accepted. Na'am, and they also mention saying Ameen, Allah, which means Allahumma istajib. And also saying Subhanallah when you reach verses of like Sabbih isma Rabbika al-A'la. That is in the Nawafil prayers, not in the Fard prayers. In the Nawafil prayers, saying Subhana Rabbil A'la, when Allah orders us, when we come upon those verses, where He orders us to say Tasbih. Likewise, when we come upon the verses of Nar, to seek refuge from the hellfire, when we come upon the verses, this is what the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do in his night prayers. Praying Taraweeh in congregation is sunnah. It's a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ones that don't do it from the groups are the Shia. They're the ones who don't pray Taraweeh. Breaking the fast quickly. لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطر. The people will continue to be upon goodness so long as they hasten to break the fast. They don't delay it. وعجلوا الفطور. نعم عجلوا الفطور sorry وأخروا السحور, and they delay the suhoor. 50 verses before Fajr, and just before Fajr by whatever it is, 20 minutes, half an hour, this estimate, you get up and eat your and that suhoor is a barakah. The Prophet said, "Tasahharu, fa inna fi suhoor barakah." Take the suhoor meal, for there is blessing in it. Take the suhoor meal, for there is blessing in it. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having given us this opportunity to keep up this fast and to follow the sunnah. Imagine, he said, they are the ones who are upon, they are the ones who be uppermost. Because he said, they will cease to be uppermost if they delay the futur. If they delay that, they will cease to be uppermost. So you may think it's a small sunnah to quickly break and hasten to break the fast. But now look at the consequence if you don't follow that sunnah. So how many sunnahs then there are, which if we leave, the consequences are great. So sunnah, holding on to the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, this is the way of salvation. This is the way that is beloved to Allah. And alhamdulillah, you're not alone. You're not alone. Ahlul sunnah, alhamdulillah, are worldwide. And this da'wah salafiyya is growing. It's growing. We meet people in Hajj time from all over the world. And in Medina, all over the world, they come to visit. Who are they visiting? After they pray Masjid Nabawi, who do they visit? The ulama. The ulama of Ahlul Sunnah. Where are the ulama? The Rasul said, the ulama, alhamdulillah, are those that have been raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not just in one isolated village, some people like to claim. The ulama, alhamdulillah, you find them in Medina, in Mecca, in Riyadh, in Egypt, na'am, in Yemen, na'am, in Algeria. You find mashayikh, mashallah, tabarakallah. It's not limited to some individuals who like to limit. No. Alhamdulillah, in Medina, the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Al-Iman يأرز إلى المدينة كما تأرز الحية إلى جحرها." Iman will go back to Medina just like the snake goes back to its hole. Just like the Iman. So where you get Iman from? Isn't it from ilm al-nafi', from beneficial knowledge? Who holds that? Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah said, this hadith is proof that you'll find Ahlul Khair, Ahlul Ilm, from them you'll find them in Medina. And throughout the times you found that. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba were in Medina. From them, Jabir ibn Abdullah teaching in the Masjid al-Nabawi, radiallahu anhuma, him and his father, may Allah be pleased with them both. Other Sahaba teaching in Masjid al-Nabawi, and teaching in Medina. Then some of them going out to Sham, and to Yemen, and to Misr. Alhamdulillah, da'wah growing. Da'wah to Tawheed and Sunnah. Those who are on this path, alhamdulillah, who follow them upon righteousness, walillahi alhamd, upon ilm al-nafi' wal-amal al-salih, Allah raises them. And from the likes of the three great ulama who have preceded us and revived the deen as a whole, they wrote books and they revived aqidah in iman billah, wa malaikatihi, wa kutubihi, wa rusulihi, wa yawm al-akhir, wa al-qadr khairi wa sharri. They revived the correct aqidah in the five pillars, al-Islam, al-Tawheed, shahadatun la ilaha wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, salah, how to pray, how to fast, how to do zakah, how to do hajj. They revived the five pillars and the six beliefs. Ulama, the likes of Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimullah, who Shaykh Muhammad al-Banna, rahimullah, used to say, the Umar of Abdul Aziz of this time. The likes of Shaykh, and Umar Abdul Aziz, he died 101 Hijriya. He ruled for 2 years. And he was just and upon that which is khair. And he managed to gather the people together upon khair. Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimullah, did the same. He managed to gather the people together upon khair, upon Tawheed and Sunnah. And he learned from, he didn't just come out from nowhere, he learned from the previous ulama. From the likes of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, rahimahullah. And from them, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. In Unayza, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah. Alhamdulillah, we attended his janazah in Mecca. And they buried him next to Sheikh bin Baz, rahimullah. Naam. And his janazah was large. All, alhamdulillah, it was full. It was Dhuhr time or Asr time, I can't remember exactly. But, mashallah, tabarakallah. Khairu barakah. The large, the janazah of Ahlul Sunnah, large. And he left much khair behind in different tools, in Arabic, in tafsir, in hadith, in mustalah, in usul. Allahu Akbar, qawaid. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimullah, the muhaddith of this time, the great imam. And in their time, who did they praise? They praised the likes of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. In their time, they were praising Sheikh Salih Fawzan, the likes of Sheikh Al-Haydan, because they were part of the lajna. They were amongst the amongst them, amongst their elders. May Allah protect them. Nah. And the likes of Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah were praised by the three. Naam. And the fourth one who passed away, Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi al-Wadi, rahimahullah, who we visited in Jeddah when he was ill. And he told me, refer back to Sheikh Rabi'. Before they passed away, they were praising the likes of Sheikh Rabi' Hafidhullah. Naam. From the ulama of Makkah, who used to be in Medina. And who does he praise? He praised the likes of his, of the great scholars in Medina. From the likes of Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabir and Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi and Sheikh Abdul Bukhari. Allahumma barik. And there are other scholars in Medina. Sheikh Abdul Mahsin Abbad also, from those who've been teaching hadith year in, year out. Sheikh Ali Nasir al-Faqihi. And other than them, who have been teaching khair upon khair. They busy their time with knowledge. Revive. Wallahi, we used to love Ramadan when it's in term time. Because now it's not, I mean, we still love Ramadan, of course. But it's not the same as when you were in Saudi at that time. Now it's in the summer holidays. We come and visit our parents, our families, and try to help that which is able to help, and then we go back. But when Ramadan over there, subhanallah, it's beautiful. Why? Because you still, ulama, every day there's something happening. Every day they're teaching. They're teaching what? بلوغ المرام كتاب الصيام لؤلؤ المرجام كتاب الصيام عمدة الأحكام كتاب الصيام. Reviving the hadith on siyam, on fasting, because it's a great legislation. And just after Ramadan we love, because after Ramadan they're preparing for Hajj. كتاب الحج من بلوغ المرام كتاب الحج من هج السالكين كتاب الحج عمدة الفقه كتاب الحج لؤلؤ المرجان. They're reviving now the book of Hajj. How to do Hajj. Just before, the ulama teaching khair upon khair. So anyone comes, tries to speak ill of them, we know who you are, and your kalam is rejected. Alhamdulillah, mardood. You failed on the first hurdle because you insulted the ulama as Abu Zur'a. From the 3rd century, he said, "Alamatu ahli al-bid'ah al-waqi'atu fi ahli al-athar." Just memorize that, yakfik. The sign of the people of innovation is that they speak ill of the people of narrations. So these ulama, alhamdulillah, they're upon athar, they're upon hadith, they're upon sunnah. Yes, if they make a mistake, we say it's a mistake, we don't follow them in that mistake. But the alim, the honor of the alim is kept. Naam. The honor of the ulama is kept. Because Allah is the one who raised them. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ تَرَجَاتِ. Allah raised them many levels. And they are the ones that we are learning from. Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, for example, from the ulama of Medina. Naam. He used to be teaching every Thursday after Fajr for about 3 to 4 hours. Khair upon khair. And recently, it was every Saturday, Sunday, after Isha, in his masjid, teaching 3 books. Allahumma barik. Ma'arij al-Qabul. The books of Hafid al-Hakami, Allahumma barik. He already went through Mimiyya of Hafid al-Hakami and taught it all. Beautiful lines of poetry about al-ilm, talab al-ilm, and respecting the ulama. Maybe one day we go over it, inshallah, because beautiful. is needed, much needed, especially in this time of fitan. And also his the lines of poetry on Mustalah Hadith, the Nasikh wal Mansukh, the abrogation, about abrogation. Hafidh al-Hakami, again, he went over that. And al-Jawhara, the Jawhara of Hafidh al-Hakami, beautiful lines of poetry, the last lines of poetry that Hafidh al-Hakami wrote. So these great scholars, they didn't just come from anywhere. Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, from his teacher, Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimullah, who studied under Sheikh Hafidh al-Hakami, and Abdullah al-Qara'awi, the teacher of Hafidh al-Hakami. Sheikh Zayd bin Hadi, who benefited from Sheikh from Hafidh al-Hakami directly. And Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi said about Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, he is from the best of the ulama, min khirat al-ulama. So if somebody comes and tries to whisper, like the shaitan whispers, and says that these scholars, he speaks ill of them, they know that they have a disease in their heart, and that they have misguidance with them and deviation. Why? Because alhamdulillah, these scholars upon khair, and they're the ones clarifying the sunnah in this time, and they're the ones clarifying the bid'ah in this time. Walillahi alhamd. Walillahi alhamd. And we say that from experience, from listening to them and what they say about each other. They love each other for the sake of Allah, because of the clarity of Tawheed and Sunnah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us blessed in this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Ramadan a benefit for us. 10 days, don't waste it. Make sure you try to finish the Quran in these 10 days. In the 10 days that are coming, if you finished half now, you can do it. If you finish 10 juz, you can do it. If you finish only 5 juz, you can do it. You can strive. Don't let your Ramadan... Every letter you read is in a hadith of Uthman Radha, you will get 10 rewards. And in Ramadan, inshallah, raised even higher. This is what's going to benefit us. This is what the ulama call us to. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who benefit in this month of Ramadan. Not just the month passes by, and we come under that dua of Jibreel alayhi salam, that may his nose be rubbed on the ground, he reached Ramadan and didn't benefit, and the Prophet said Ameen. We don't want to be that reached Ramadan, you didn't benefit. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wallahu a'lam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala khairi khalqina Muhammad wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Can you explain again what Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said about the Quran was revealed in Laylatul Qadr? The Quran was revealed in Laylatul Qadr in one, all of it revealed on one night. And then throughout the 23 days, he said, the Quran was apportioned to the Messenger وسلم, where the need arose. He sent him based upon the wisdom of Allah, the knowledge of Allah. Each portion was given until the whole Quran was complete. Yani to him. وسلم. The masjid I go to for Taraweeh, this question is asking, is a Hizbi masjid, and they make dua against the rulers of Syria, etc. I am not great in understanding Arabic, so it is better for me to not raise my hands in a dua qunut. Well, we prayed behind Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi in his masjid during this the beginning of this fitna in Syria, and Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi also raised his hand and made dua against the ruler of Syria because he's not Muslim, and because of the oppression that he's causing. So this is something which was practiced by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dua al-qunut. Naam. And one of the practices was to supplicate against the most evil of people. And so Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi practiced that sunnah in his masjid, and alhamdulillah, we said Ameen. And we raised our hands. As for if there are takfiris calling all the rulers kuffar, then be careful. For those that the scholars said are not Muslim, we say they are not Muslim. But we don't go around following the takfiris in everyone they call not Muslim and so on, because they have a blanket takfir on everyone. And it's better if you find a Sunni Salafi masjid, pray in that masjid is better. Especially you said you don't know Arabic and you don't know what they're saying. They may be making dua for him. Yani for the disbeliever. You're not allowed to make dua for the disbeliever. As for the evil ruler who's a Muslim, naam. Fudayl ibn Iyad said, if I have half a dua, I will make it for them. Because in their betterment is in the betterment of people. And this is from the way of the Salaf. If he's a Muslim, but he's an evil ruler, a bad ruler, but the one in Syria is not Muslim. He's Alawi from the Shia Rafidi sect. And from the worst of them, and the atrocities he's causing, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Muslims from his harm. If a person can't fast due to taking medication, what should they do? There's two types of sickness. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, there's a sickness which is expected that you come out of. And there's sickness that you're not expected to come out of. That is the marad la yurja bur'uhu. As for the first one, then it's temporary sickness. After Ramadan, fa'iddatu min ayyamin ukhar. Then repay that day that you have missed. As for the sickness, that like that is those old people who have diabetes, then for every day they feed a poor person. They feed a poor person for every day they miss. So 30 days, 30 poor people. They gather the money and they try to gather the food for that poor person. And alhamdulillah, I heard in Maktaba Salafiyya, they're collecting that to give to the poor in Morocco. And they said it's £2.50 and they're collecting. And with that, they will buy the food. So it's like you're making them wakil, yani, to buy the food. Because it's food is going to be given, not the money. It's the food. You said the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar wrong. You said hajj before fasting. That's how the hadith came, like that. وحج البيت وصوم رمضان. It's not me. This the hadith is the wording that is in the hadith. It's in, you can go back to 40 hadith and you will see the wording is like that. So we memorize it as it has come. Barakallahu fik. And there are other wordings where the five pillars are mentioned, where the hajj is mentioned last. Okay, so but the one that is in Bukhari and Muslim, the one in the Abdullah ibn Umar that is in 40 hadith, is the one which mentions fasting before hajj. So what is my dhanb? And where is the mistake? The best slaves, is there a hadith that says the best slaves are those who are unknown and fear Allah, or in similar wording? This too general. It's too general. There are, Imam Ahmad rahimullah said, when he was asked about which is better, those who warn against the munkar, the evil, innovation, shirk and so on, they enjoin the good and forbid the evil, or somebody who prays and he fasts for himself. For the one who prays and fasts, this for himself. But as for the one who warns from evil and enjoins good, he's better, he said. So, not just somebody who prays and fasts and guards himself. The best of those are the ones that are mentioned in the hadith Qudsi. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَى the awliya of Allah. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مَا أَفْطَرْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. They fulfill their obligatory duties and they're upon nawafil, extra duties. They fulfill their obligations and they're upon nawafil. And they keep away from the muharramat. They are, inshallah, the best slaves. Are there any ulama in Morocco? We don't know any ulama in Morocco. And nor have the mashayikh. There used to be Sheikh Taqiyuddin al-Hilali, rahimahullah, who was strong in the Arabic language. And the mashayikh knew of him, knew well of him. And he loved the mashayikh. There's letters between him and Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah. So much love. Naam. And he used to be with the Tijani Sufis. Look. And he became Salafi, Sunni, alhamdulillah. He left them, he started refuting them. And he has a book, volumes, refuting them. How do you expiate an oath that you broke? You feed 10 poor people. You're not able to free a slave, you feed 10 poor people. This is an expiation of an oath, as mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah. تطعموا عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون به أو كسوتهم, or you clothe them, أو تحرير الرقبة, or free a slave. فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام. Whoever does not able to do that, then fast 3 days. ذلك كفارة أيمانكم إذا حلفتم واحفظوا أيمانكم كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تشكرون. So first you start with the feeding of 10 poor people or clothing them or freeing a slave. So fast comes after that if you're not able to do that. That is mentioned in the Quran. What is your stance on Mufti Menk? Mufti Menk, من هو هذا Mufti Menk? Is he the one that comes on the YouTube? Who's, I think, South African accent? Huh? Who are these people, Yari? Who are these? Deobandi individuals who are not upon what we know from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are, alhamdulillah, ulama are known. We don't need anyone who's majhul, who's unknown, and he sprouts out from nowhere. We don't just go and just, go onto the internet. Yeah, he's this. No, alim, he's upon tawheed and sunnah. A lot of these individuals, they talk about fadail al-a'mal, naam, they talk about, but you'll find them in manhaj, methodology, they will not emphasize that which is the most important, aqeedah and tawheed, calling against shirk and bid'ah. That's why you find them on the same platform as so many different speakers. So when you see posters and you see Mufti Menk with all the other also satellite sheikhs or YouTube sheikhs, you find they're all the same category. Usually you find them storytellers. They have lots of stories. And one of the Salaf, when he passed by a storyteller, he started taking hair under it from his armpit in front of the storyteller. The people say, "What are you doing? You're taking, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing that here?" The sheikh is giving the lecture, or the person is giving a. He said, "What I'm doing is the sunnah. What he's doing is bidah." He's lying upon the sunnah. No, I'm doing sunnah. He starts pickpocketing his hair from his armpit in front of him. Alhamdulillah. That's how Salaf. Anyone comes, storyteller, adds a few things here and there, sahih, da'if, munkar, mawdu', anything, gather the numbers, gather the people, dazzling, the lights. You see them sometimes, subhanAllah, lights, spotlights. You think, where are you? Where are you? This, like, the disco is like that. All these spotlights and sounds, you know, like sounds like music, all this kind of hoo-ha, you know, dazzling. But when the man speaks, where's the sunnah? The athar is what raises man. Aqeedah, tawheed, the Quran, the sunnah. Alaykum bi athari salaf wa in rafadaka an-nas. Upon you is to hold to the athar of the salaf, even if the people leave you. Duru ma'a sunnah haythu darat. Turn with the sunnah wherever it turns. Don't just follow any man that comes up and spouts out, who has not taken knowledge directly from the ulama, or his stance. Not just taking knowledge from the ulama. What is his stance? Is it in line what the ulama are upon or not? So we are always careful not to take from anyone. Ibn Sirin rahimullah said, "Inna hadha al-ilm deen. Fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum." This knowledge is deen. Be careful whom you take it from. Be careful whom you take it from. And you're going to get lots of people like that. Coming back in 6 months, coming back in a year, Sheikh Rabi was asked, 2 years a man studied. Is that sufficient to give da'wah? He said, what can he have learned in only 2 years? What can he have learned in only 2 years? SubhanAllah, quick fit, shortcut. No, this is not the way of sinin, ulama. Yes, they learn for action first. Many of these, they learn, they want to give da'wah. They come back, when's my next khutbah? That's their statements, as some of the brothers mentioned. When's my next khutbah? They were hasty to teach, hasty to gather the numbers, hasty to be... They don't know, miskin, that in front of Allah, you are questioned for everything you say. So how is 2 years going to be sufficient for you, Ya Abdullah? Not knowing Arabic properly, not knowing the Quran, not knowing the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quick, be careful whom you take your religion from. Not referring back to the ulama, isolated in a corner. Are we accountable for our thoughts? Allah mentioned that in Surah Al-Baqarah, right at the end. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِنَّا سِينَا أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِنَّا سِينَا أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. So those, you're not responsible. Allah will not call you to account. But He will reward you, inshallah, if you have good intention. If you have good intention, He'll reward you. And if you have a bad intention and you don't do that bad thing, He will reward you that you kept away from it. What is your view on Khalid Yasin? The same. All of these individuals, they are not linked with the ulama. They are, when they praise, who do they praise? They will praise the political activists. They will praise these individuals. So we keep away from them. Stick with those who are with the ulama. The ulama are known. Khalid Yasin became famous from one lecture he gave. What is the purpose of life? After that, where is the teaching of the books of the ulama? Of Usul al-Thalatha, Qawa'id al-Arba'a, Kitab al-Tawheed, Usul al-Sitta, and the books of Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Aqid al-Wasatiyya, Al-Hamawiyya, Tudmuriyya, books of Imam Ahmad, Rahimullah, Usul al-Sunnah, Imam Ahmad, his son, Kitab al-Sunnah, Al-Lalika is Usul al-Tiqad al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, great works in there. Sharh al-Sunnah of Barbahari. Naam, Sharh al-Sunnah of Marwazi. Al-Sunnah of Marwazi and Sharh al-Sunnah of Al-Muzani. Great works. Where is the teaching of these books? Reviving the Aqeedah of the Salaf. They're not upon that. So why are you asking about them? They're not upon that. Have you ever heard Mufti Mink or Khalid Yasin going through any of these books? No. So, alhamdulillah, it's clear. This da'wah is clear. The da'wah, or salafiyyah, alhamdulillah, tawheed, or sunnah, will move forward upon clarity, upon ilm. Revival of that which the previous scholars were upon. It's not something new that they come about and they talk about. This is da'wah, da'wah salafiyyah. How do you know if a masjid is Salafi? How do you know if a masjid is Salafi? Ask. Ask. Ask your friend, ask the people that are, and you will come to know. And be careful from those who are wearing the clothes of Salafiyyah. You know if they start insulting the ulama, they know that they are not Salafi. Naam. If they start insulting the likes of Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, Sheikh Saif Uzan, know that they have confusion and that they have left that guidance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. What is the case of a person who has days to make up from last year but due to laziness did not? Astaghfirullah. Sheikh Ubaid Habullah said that this Siyam is a pillar. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken, it's a pillar. Not just an obligation, it's a pillar, rukun, min arkan al-Islam. So anyone who has days to make up, should hasten to make those days. Or, you do as what Aisha radiallahu anha did, you make sure you do it in Sha'ban, before Ramadan. Shouldn't leave it. And seek refuge from laziness. The Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم would seek refuge from al-kasal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal wal-ajaz wa ghalibat al-dayn wa ghalibat al-rijal. From laziness and al-ajaz, having not the ability to do something. So don't be lazy on these things. This is the dayn of Allah. Wad-daynullahi ahaqhu an yuqda. The dayn of Allah has most right to be fulfilled. If you owe someone money, you have to give it to them. You'll be accountable. The Prophet didn't even pray over the person who owes money, has debt, to show us the seriousness of dying upon debts. How about the deen of Allah? Allahu Akbar. Is it permissible to pray in a church with pictures on the wall and windows? No. Don't pray in a church with pictures and windows and pictures on the wall. Don't do that.